Good morning. What a joy to be together and to sing of our beautiful Savior, the Lord Jesus. I really hope you know Him personally, that you have a relationship with God through Him, and that you come to worship Him this morning. Maybe you don't know Him, and as Isaac has said earlier, that's okay too. We're so glad to have you here. What a blessing to be able to come together and share about the Lord Jesus with those who know Him and with those who don't know Him. This morning I want to ask you to slow down. Slow down. Jeff Johnson, many of you know him. Some of you have had him work on your teeth over in Reidsville. Others of you have heard him preach or you know him personally. And he often reminds us that we read our Bibles too fast. We miss a lot. We need to slow down sometimes and make sure that we're not missing something that maybe we've missed before. I know you have read in the Bible about fasting, but I have been a part of this local church either being brought in the nursery or being in fellowship for off and on for, well, if I tell you, then you'll know how old I am, right? So 62 years. I don't personally, and you might tell me you weren't paying attention, Mark, and that's why, I don't personally ever remember hearing or preaching a message on fasting. Now, fasting has definitely been mentioned as we have taught through different books of the Bible, and this morning it's going to be an abbreviated message, and quit snickering out there, you think I'm going to abbreviate a sermon, but we're going to try to do that this morning because we do have a presentation that's going to tie in what we're going to look at in the Word of God this morning, and we're very thankful to have Rissa and Adria here from Love Life. Some of you saw the table out in the hallway. They'll be there after the meeting as well, and most of you, I hope, received a card, and we'll talk about those cards in just a little bit, but fasting is something that we find really all through the Bible. I'm asking you to turn to one passage, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and when we think about this concept of fasting, it reminds us about food. Food in our world, food in our culture, food in our lives. God has designed it that we need food. We need nourishment. It's a fuel for our physical lives. Food is something that, for the most part, unless something is wrong with us physically, we desire food. We desire the pleasure that comes with food. We even at times crave a certain item. There's a little bakery and coffee shop right around the corner from our house, and it's called Delicious. I've never been there, but wow, just the name of it makes me want to go. Delicious. We share fellowship around food. We find that, again, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. People gathering around a table to share fellowship. Sometimes we eat to pursue escape. Escape from our problems. Escape from our anxieties. Escape from our pressures. Many of us go to food for escape. We enjoy the variety of food, the different flavors, the different textures. Some are even addicted to food. We see fasting in the Bible as abstaining from foods for a spiritual purpose. Now, you can definitely fast for other reasons, health reasons. You can also fast for dieting reasons. And there are other things from which you can fast. But we find in the Scripture that primarily the focus seems to be an abstinence from what is so important in our lives and sometimes maybe has become even more important than God originally intended for it to be, and to do that for a spiritual purpose. Now notice here in Matthew chapter 9, look at verses 14 and 15. Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. We find the Lord Jesus being approached by some of the disciples of John the Baptist. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Notice those last four words in that verse. The Lord Jesus is the one who said this. Then they will fast. Wow, there's a sermon right there in those four words. And we don't have time to look deeply into it. But he's speaking here about abstaining from foods for a spiritual purpose. He doesn't say then they may fast or then they could fast, but that they will fast. I don't believe we have here a command. I don't think we find fasting commanded anywhere in the Scripture. We think that possibly the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement, some interpret back in Leviticus when they're told to afflict themselves for that one day of the year, that primarily spoke of fasting and abstinence from food. And we find that they did fast, and oftentimes those fasts were commanded, but not by God. We find this is a very personal spiritual discipline. Then they will fast. When the bridegroom is no longer with them, the Lord Jesus was there personally with them. Now we know that spiritually He is with us. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. The Spirit of God lives within everyone who has truly received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Believing that He died on the cross for my sins personally, for that individual's sin personally, and rose again, and we have trusted Him alone for forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And in doing so, He becomes, among other things, our groom. We are part of the bride of Christ. And we look forward to our groom coming to get us. But the Lord Jesus said, when the groom is not with them, then they will fast. This is a part of the then time, okay? We're in the then. He's not here on the earth physically with us anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father. There He's been exalted, His rightful place. And one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Then they will fast. Who are the they? Who are the they? They're the disciples, right? Not just those ones who were gathered there that day. And we find in the book of Acts, we see those who were followers of the Lord Jesus, those who have trusted Him as Savior and are seeking to pursue Him and walk with Him and know Him and grow in Him. And we find them in the book of Acts, chapters 13 and 14. We find them fasting. Okay, so we don't have a lot of time left, and we're going to do something crazy. We're going to look at 10 actions connected with fasting in the Bible and their application to abortion, and I have about 6.5 minutes to do that. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. 13.5 minutes. So now we have plenty of time, right? You thought we only had 6.5. We got 13.5 minutes. We can really slow down and hold our breath. So I'm not going to ask you to turn to these passages, but I'm going to very quickly touch on them. And with each one, I want to make an application to this issue that we're thinking about really all month. Our ministries of the month for October are Life Chain. That was the first Sunday in the month. And also Love Life, which is launching for us. Week 38 is launching today. And we're so excited to be a part of this. And so we want to see, what's the application? We think about prayer and fasting. We're going to talk more about fasting for this Wednesday, particularly as a local church. Let's talk a little bit about that. Here's some fast in the Bible applied to abortion. The first one we find in Deuteronomy chapter 9 in verse 18. There we read that Moses, he is speaking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. And he says, I, Moses, fell down before the Lord, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. He's going back to the time he was on Mount Sinai, receiving again the Ten Commandments. He says, I neither ate bread nor drank water. Why? Because of all your sin, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. And I don't think I even have to suggest, on the authority of the Word of God, the sin of abortion is doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord, to provoke Him to anger. And we should mourn over that. And as Moses fasted, and Moses abstained from food, and for him, even water, it was a miraculous fast that he could do that. To mourn over sin. You know, when we think about sin and we think about abortion and we think about what's involved in the life of that little child being taken in the womb of his or her mother, that helpless, defenseless, vulnerable child, our hearts should mourn. Can I suggest that I wish I would lose my appetite when I think about that? As we fast, as we abstain from food for a day or a portion of a day or for one meal or from certain foods, however the Lord may lead you to help you to focus, that those hunger pains would remind you to mourn over the sin of abortion in our world. Secondly, I've got two references here. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, and Nehemiah chapter 9, the first two verses, confessing the sin of abortion. In 1 Samuel 7 and verse 6, we read of the people of Israel. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, a sacrificial symbol. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." Maybe you're here this morning and you have had an abortion, or you fathered a baby and that baby was aborted. If so, I hope that you have brought that to God. He's forgiving. He's forgiving. He loves you. But you know, it's not only the individuals who have participated in abortion. Listen to what we read in Nehemiah chapter 9. On the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins, listen to this, and the iniquities of their fathers. They, along with many others in the Scripture, we find Daniel doing the same thing in Daniel 9, identifying with the sins of their people. And our nation has been involved and now is an international leader in promoting abortion around the world. We need to identify with and acknowledge the sins of our nation. Thirdly, as we fast, we can agree with God against abortion. I mentioned Daniel and his fasting, and in Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, Daniel says this, "I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes." Daniel went to the Word of God and he found God's heart for the city of Jerusalem. That there were going to be 70 years of exile out of that city, the people of God, because of their rebellion, because of their idolatry. And he recognized from God's Word what God's heart was. And we can go to God's Word and we find there the heart of God. We don't have to go any further than Psalm 139. We read that we were fearfully and wonderfully knit together in our mother's wombs, not just you, not just me, not just the people that have been born, but every child in the womb of every mother. We know God's heart, and we should agree together as the people of God against abortion. Fourthly, as we fast and as we think about abortion, we should mourn over the victims of abortion. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12, we read about the people of Israel after Saul and Jonathan, his son, the leaders of the armies of Israel, after they, along with the national army, had been defeated, many of them had died. We read this about the people of Israel. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel. Why? Because they had fallen by the sword. There should be mourning. There should be sorrow. There should be godly sadness in our hearts for the more than 61 million children in the United States of America that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. And here's another figure that just blew me away when I saw it. Since 1980, in the world, 1.5 billion abortions. Can you believe that? Should that make us mourn over these babies whose lives have been taken from them? We need to mourn as we fast. Also, as we fast, we see also in 2 Samuel in chapter 12 that we should be interceding for children threatened by abortion. I make an application here because this is the time that David had sinned with Bathsheba. And a child had been born as a result of that sinful relationship. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, that the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. He prayed for that child. Now that little baby boy had already been born. But as an application for us as we fast, particularly this Wednesday, might we, as David interceded for his son, he said, maybe the Lord will spare his life. And God had that power to do that. Maybe the lives of these children will be spared. We can pray, we can intercede, we can go before God. Yes, we can write our congressman. We can speak to others and post things on social media. And those things are good, but there's nothing better that we can do against abortion to come to God and to ask Him as we intercede for those children threatened by abortion. In much the same thought, here we read in 2 Chronicles 20 and Joel chapter 1, this idea of seeking God's intervention against abortion. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat had heard that Israel was under attack from Babylon. And we read that he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Joel says the same thing in his prophecy. He speaks to the leaders and the people of Judah. And he says, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Can I suggest that we pray? That we seek God's intervention, that we ask Him to intervene regarding abortion, that we pray for an end to legal abortion, that we pray for an end to illegal abortion, that we pray for God's intervention in the lives of mothers-to-be and fathers-to-be, that their hearts would be spoken to by the very Spirit of God who is coming to the world, the Lord Jesus said, to convict of sin. Also, as we fast, might we be seeking God's will for addressing abortion. In Ezra 8 and verse 21, Ezra, as he leads a group back to Jerusalem after they had been exiled, he says, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones. and all our possessions. And as we fast, might we seek God's will? God, what is the best way? How can I be involved? What do you want me to do regarding this issue of abortion? What is the right way? Lord, lead us. Then in Esther chapter 4, Esther was in a position of influence. And her uncle Mordecai had told her, you need to go before the king and request the protection of your people. But she knew that was something that was not legal in that kingdom. And if she approached and he did not hold out the golden scepter, her life would be taken from her. And so in preparation for that, in preparing for that dangerous mission, she said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. What's the application for us? This is a dangerous mission. We are going against the rulers, not just of this physical world. We are going, according to Ephesians 6:12, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And we need to be preparing for the dangerous mission against abortion. Fasting can be a part of that. It was a part for Esther. Number 9, in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, we find God rebuking the people of Israel because they were fasting only in an exterior way. Not in their hearts. It was not real. And we find here that as we fast, we should do so confronting society's view of abortion. Here's what he said to the people of Israel. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. But there's a lot of applications to that. But I believe that one application is our society's view regarding the unborn in the womb. Yes, we are swimming upstream. Yes, we are going against the flow. Yes, we are confronting society's view of abortion. But is that not the fast that God has chosen? Not only to abstain from food, but to be a part of loosing these bonds of wickedness against children and against women. And finally, the Lord Jesus Himself. In Matthew chapter 4, we read there that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Spiritual warfare. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And we know the response of the Lord Jesus as He went back to the book of Deuteronomy. And three times responded to the three attacks of Satan that are recorded there. Again, we do not battle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against those who are performing abortion per se. They're not against those who are voting for that to be legal, per se. It's not, per se, against those justices who are making those decisions. Ultimately, the battle is a spiritual battle. And as we fast, we need to realize that we are engaging the spiritual battle of abortion. And as the Lord Jesus said, as He spoke of a certain demon that was cast out of a boy, He said, these come out only by prayer and fasting. We're so thankful for the Love Life Ministry, and at this time we're going to have several videos. We're going to start first of all for the story of a couple whose lives were impacted by Love Life. And then we're going to have another video by Josh Kappas. He's the director of city development. He will introduce himself in the video, and then we'll also have a video regarding the 40th week. And so we'll see those three videos, and if you guys just want to go one after the other, that'll be great.
We came to the abortion clinic, we feel like, you know,
there was just no help. Like, we was helpless.
We didn't want to bring a baby into our situation.
We just thought it was the only way. You know, we was just like, this is selfish to the baby.
We felt like, you know, we have no hope in nothing, you know, because we've been living in hotels for maybe almost 2 years now. So, you know, we lost everything, stuff in the storage, everything. We lost everything. So we just starting from the scratch.
When the Wiggins arrived, and I just kind of glanced to my side, and I see a beat-up old car, windows down, and the woman said, we have no choice. We have to abort this baby. What are we going to do?
My car pulled up. I meet these people, and they're talking to me, and they're saying, no, no, you don't want to do that. And just the conversation got deeper and deeper, and then I just decided, like, okay, well, maybe this was meant for me to meet these people. Maybe, you know, it's a purpose in this. So within that same day, really, I changed my mind about the abortion with the baby. And we kind of went from there.
So we call Love Life and tell them these people need everything. And they need it all tomorrow. And Love Life instantly took on, you know, helping us to find a car, helping us with the housing issue, getting them set up with a mentor in a church right away.
It made us think about things better than abortion. You know, we had to think about, you know, that's a baby life. You know, God blessed us with this baby for a reason. So, you know, with the idea of us getting married, you know, because we've been together for 12 years. I mean, it came across our mind, like, we're going to get married.
We just never
got around to it. Just from that day, we went to the abortion clinic, and like, everything came to us at one time.
Yeah.
As far as, like, keeping the baby, marriage, you know, helping people and stuff. So it made us look at things different.
I've never had no one to reach out and help us, for somebody to reach out and say, I love this family, like, and just play that role. Like, they took it on right away. They took the role on right away. Like, that same day I met them, they took that role on to help me and get my mind from thinking a negative way about the pregnancy to thinking the positive is going to work out. It's just a process that you have to go through, and are you willing to do that? And I said, yeah, I would do that. With y'all encouraging me, I'll do it.
Shannon Hills Church. From the stress, from the chaos, from the financial struggle, they're literally making a blood sacrifice to a false god. And we have a real Savior. We have a real answer, a real news. And so hear the good news this morning. And so I would encourage you not only to confess to the Lord, but maybe speak to your pastor, a Sunday school teacher, someone who brought you to church today. Let them know. And this happens often. There's been over 100 people just this year alone that have connected with our partnering ministry called Restored Life, where they'll help you get into a local Bible study that's specifically for people who've had an abortion in their past. We've seen over 100 people do that this year. 40 alone here in Greensboro in the triad. And so we want to see you healed and set free. This ministry is not about shame and condemnation. And so God has been doing a great thing. I want to let you know that this ministry started in 2016 with just 20 people in a tent. The Lord grabbed a hold of a man's heart. His name is Justin Reeder. He was invited to the largest abortion clinic in the Southeast on Latrobe Drive in Charlotte, North Carolina. They do 150 to 200 abortions a week at that one facility. Justin was doing business with a company just across the street. He didn't even know it was an abortion clinic. And the Lord broke his heart, and he began praying and asking the Lord, what can the church do to bring an end to abortion and the orphan crisis? And so about a year or so down the road, the Lord called him clearly to be a voice to the voiceless and began waking him up at night to give him a strategy for what is now Love Life. And it's based out of Nehemiah 1 and 2. And what started 4 years ago in one city with just 20 people has now expanded to four cities. We're in Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh, and on October 5th of this year, we launched Love Life Manhattan in front of the largest Planned Parenthood and probably the largest abortion clinic in the country. They do 11,000 abortions in 1 year at this one facility, 1% of the nation's abortions. And the church is waking up and standing there praying and worshiping and drawing attention to the miracle that God is going to do as the church wakes up and engages with this issue. And so what's happened with 20 people in a tent has gone to four cities, over 300 partnering churches, over 60,000 people participating in our prayer walks, 1,800 families have chosen life at these abortion clinics. These are moms, many of which were inside the abortion clinic, but because Christians were there offering them resources, another way, another option, and praying and fasting during the week, they changed their minds. God moved in their lives and they came out. They're offered the opportunity to be connected with a mentor in a local church, and God is doing great things. We're seeing many people in the churches stepping up beyond the prayer walk. This is not a flash in the pan ministry. This is not a one-day event if people are gathering to hear a big speaker or a band. This is a movement. It's a battle. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to require us to lay down our lives for our neighbor. We want you to know we're not motivated by a hatred for abortion. We're motivated by a love for Jesus and a love for the gospel and a love for our neighbor. We believe the parable of the Good Samaritan is so appropriate, as there are many who are being left in the ditches of society who believe that this is their best option. They're being abandoned, and we have an opportunity to come alongside of them, to bind up their wounds, to make a sacrifice of our finances, of our time, of caring for them and walking alongside of them. And as a result, we believe that as those stories continue to rise up, and you can see these stories in our app of women who've been mentored and the miracles that God is doing, but as these stories multiply, the culture will shift and abortion will become unthinkable and unnecessary, and people will understand that the Church of Jesus Christ, banding together, united as one body, not some weird ecumenical movement and just, you know, coming together in unity for unity's sake, but coming together under the mission of God, the banner of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ that speaks to this issue and brings hope and life to those who are hurting, the culture will change, and we will see an end to abortion in our day. That there'll be a time where we're sitting with our kids, our grandkids, and they'll ask us, what did you do to bring an end to abortion? And how did it happen? And we'll be able to share those stories. We believe that God is going to do it. Our hope is in Him. It's not in us. It's not in a ministry. It's in the church that Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against, and that He would build His church. He would build His kingdom. And so that's what you're being invited to be a part of. So a Love Life Adoption Week is really made up of four steps based off of Nehemiah 1 and 2. Hear, pray, go, connect. So you've heard the tragic truth today. You've heard what God is doing. And just as Nehemiah heard of the condition of the walls in Jerusalem and his heart was broken, we're praying that your heart will be broken today. You pray that you'll understand that since Roe v. Wade, over 60 million babies have been aborted. And that's happening, that many of those are claiming to be followers of Christ, that we've got to repent of our own silence and inactivity and really passivity on this issue. But praise God, that is changing. So today you've heard the tragic truth. On Wednesday, we're going to invite you to pray and fast. If you sign up today with our commitment cards, you'll be able to commit to prayer and fasting, and we will send you emails this week with specific ways you can be praying and reminding you to pray and fast. How you do that is up to you. Your pastor will encourage you in that way. Well, I want you to know that last year when we started, Wednesdays was one of the busiest days of the week for this clinic. And we slowly saw that start to dwindle down to where now they are not doing any abortions on Wednesdays. And we are thankful for that. In Raleigh today, the abortion clinic is closed. We don't know why. Today, the numbers are way down, and we praise God for that. It's still a long journey ahead, but Wednesday is prayer, fasting. Saturday is the actual day of the prayer walk. That is the go piece. Listen, we don't want to just be opposed to the issue of abortion. We want to be opposed and engaged. We want to be a part of the solution and the answer. And so come and join us. Come and pray. Come and give up. Lay down your Saturday. Lay down your rest for a day. and come and pray with us. We're going to gather at Destiny Christian Church, 2401 Randleman Road. After the prayer walk is over, after we come back over here to the church and finish, we'll share with you multiple ways to get connected beyond the prayer walk, because we believe that just a one-day prayer event, it's great and it's good, it's important, but it's going to take an ongoing movement of discipleship, of sidewalk counseling, mentorship, adoption, and foster care, of all of us being involved and working together with the gifts that God's given us to bring an end to abortion. So God bless you. Pastor Mark, thank you for your leadership, and we will see you soon.
Now, I wish that the good Christian people of my area would have come to that desk camp to plead for our lives like you're doing here. If only a few had come, they would have been demonized and destroyed. But what if thousands had gathered? Do not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap the reward if we do not lose heart.
We unite today again, not just here in Charlotte, but in Greensboro and in Raleigh.
It is our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to stand up and be counted. It's our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to reach out in love and to say there is a better way.
We are a part of the greatest organism on the planet. We believe in your church, and we pray today that you will use us not to bring shame, not to bring condemnation, but to bring hope.
When the church comes together, people notice. When the church comes together, the enemy takes notice. And we're driving a stake in the ground today.
We're not here to put a dent in it. We're here to see it eliminated.
We are here today representing the body of Christ. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Methodist thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. But it is a church thing. We can no longer just sit in our churches and pray. We can no longer sit quietly and sit and do nothing. We've got to take a stand. And the moment we join together, they begin to fall. Somebody needs to join together with me. Give God the biggest shout of praise.
When I had my abortion, there was not one person on these sidewalks. But God heard the cries of his people, and today the church is here.
Take a stand. It changed our entire church.
And listen, when the church shows up in big numbers, the numbers of abortions go down. When you come here, God shows up.
But if those women in there can hear me right now, you guys have a choice. The church is here to help you walk with that baby. We will help you.
Your prayers and your efforts were not in vain. God intervened. And because of you, and because God was working through you, she's here.
Well, the reason for this land, the reason for this celebration, the reason for that stake in the ground is because we're about to see God do something supernatural. La Trobe is no longer going to be synonymous with death and abortion, but will be synonymous with life and adoption.
Called you to do something. He's calling all of us to do something. What is your place on the wall?
We thank the Lord for this ministry of Love Life, and as the question was asked there at the end of the video, what is your place? What does God want you to do as we think about this week? And we and another church up in Yadkinville are adopting this week with Love Life. You've already been a part of the hearing of the launch today. You have a card there. I think that most of you received a card. Do we have any extra cards, Jim? Are we out of them? Just a couple, maybe one card if you didn't get one. We got a few. Raise your hand if you didn't get a card, and there's one behind you. They'll bring you a card if you need one. You also can go. They have an app. If you have an iPhone, it's Love Life USA. If you have an Android phone, then it's Love Life Triad. So you can download that. But we'd love for you to right now, go ahead and take that card. And if you have something to write with, just go ahead and fill that out if you would. Because as Josh said, what they would like to do, if you can pray and fast on Wednesday, and again, maybe your health will not allow you to fast, you can still pray. So please go ahead and fill that out so they can send you the prayer points. Just put your name and an email address, I think, is on there. And that check that you would like to be a part of that. And then on Saturday, as he said, is the go part of their ministry. And we want as many as possible from this local church to be a part of that. So I want to invite you to come out at 9 o'clock, maybe get there a few minutes early. The address is in the bulletin today. And the only abortion clinic in Greensboro is just a few miles from where we're sitting right now. Maybe 2 miles over on Randleman Road, that's where we'll be. And that's where abortions take place in this city. We're not going to go over there yelling, and we're not going to go over there throwing things. We're going to go over there to pray. And so after a time there where we'll meet outside Destiny Church, we'll just do a walk over to the parking lot that's right outside of the abortion clinic. I've been able to participate in that a couple of times. It's very moving. It's a powerful time. But more importantly, it's a time where you can get together and we'll break into small groups and just pray. They'll give us some points to pray about, praying for the women that are going in there, praying that they won't come that day, praying for the abortionist and against what they're trying to do, praying for those who are hurting, praying for those children. Again, we know that everyone is not able to come, but if you're able, we would love to have you there. To go from about, what is it, like 2 hours? 2 hours. So 9 to 11, you'll be finished if you can give up that part of your Saturday morning. And then you probably also received a little small card, a little black card. That tells about the 40th week. We're adopting week 38. Week 40, they're wanting to get everybody, all the churches that have participated, to go for one final prayer walk for this 40-week journey of hope. And then they'll start another one next year in the will of the Lord. But we'd love for you to be a part of that too. So we'll be reminding you. So I'm going to ask you, maybe if the ushers could come, I'm going to ask you just to pass your cards over to the center of the aisle. If you're still working on it, go ahead and do that. If you don't get it filled out till later, that's fine. You can get it to me and I'll get it to them. But if you could just pass them to the center aisle here, and ushers, if you wouldn't mind coming by and getting those. And again, we want to encourage you to be a part of this. We'd love for you to experience fasting, again, for whatever length of time you would like to do that. Let that time when you're fasting remind you of your hunger. Let it remind you to pray. Let it remind you of your dependence upon God. Let it remind you of the need to mourn and confess and agree with God and to intercede and to seek God's intervention and God's will, to prepare, to confront, to engage the spiritual battle. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for giving us a couple of extra minutes. And Rissa and Adria are going to be out. If y'all want to go on out there, Mel, maybe they'll be out. They got a lot of information out there right at your exit of the doors to the right. Encourage you, if you haven't stopped by and picked up some of that literature, talk to them. We would love for you to do that. We want to be doing what we can against abortion. And we thank the Lord for what he's allowed us to be a part of. So you go ahead and pass your cards down. Ushers, you go ahead and get those. And I'm going to go ahead and pray. It's okay to keep passing your card to fill them out while I pray. That's no problem at all. And then we'll just be dismissed with that. Father, thank you so much for our time together this morning. Thank you for Love Life, for what you've done in Justin Reeder's heart to start this ministry, and for those who have come alongside of him. Thank you for exposing us as a church to what they're doing and what we can be a part of. Father, we thank you for the testimonies of babies' lives that have been saved as a result of prayer. Lord, thank you that you are willing to hear and answer our prayer. When we pray in faith, when we have confessed our sin, when we pray according to your will. And so, Father, we just would lift ourselves up here this morning, confessing our need of you, our dependence on you. Father, work in our hearts. Show us what you would have us to do individually and as a church. So we thank you for your love for life. Thank you for your salvation that you've made available to everyone through the Lord Jesus, that you gave your Son. He gave his life. He took our place. He took our sin upon himself. Thank you that you are willing to forgive any and every sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we commend ourselves to you now and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much.